Shalom, shalom. Okay. We got a great day in store for everybody out there today. What a great day to be alive. I woke up this morning and I had to do the Shema. I just realized
my mic wasn't on again. Mr. Board Operator.
Okay. Well, I had it all ready to go on. You were
just the wrong mic.
Okay.
I know. Okay. Oh, this is too fun.
Okay. Well, we're on there now. Shema. Shasha.
Yeah.
You know, we took
a Hebrew class like that. Cindy and I did. And he taught us nonsense syllables. He would say sha, shama, shasho, and all of a sudden we'd be speaking Hebrew words. We didn't even know it. It was so awesome. Do you remember that? Did you do that one?
Yeah, I did that one with you for a few days, and then I left.
Me too.
I got caught up. Well, it's great to have you out there this morning. And you know what is so exciting is we're going to have Jim Staley on this morning. Remember we did the campaign with Jim, and we still are working on it. I'm getting some great results with the people that are using them. But we got to get more involved with getting that word out.
We do. We have several hundred of these Truth or Tradition DVDs left. And we'd like for you to come and get them, hand them out to your family, your friends. There's no charge for them. If you will guarantee us you'll get them out and let us know what you did with them, especially if you get them to your pastors and to friends and so on. And just for people who are tuning in for the first time, this is what we know, that over the years, the faith of Yeshua, or Jesus, our Messiah and our Savior, has changed from what it was in the first century. And we do things in the Christian faith that are not the same as he did, and that we are in conflict with much of the Bible as far as when we add things that are unholy to our faith. And we know that our God is holy, and never does he mix things, mix and unmix? And Jamie, you're going to have to be a little quieter there on that. Jamie's learning how to run the board, so we're fixing to make him an expert at this thing. So that's really what this show is all about, to bring us back to biblical truth, to where we have the faith that will endure during times that are coming, times of tribulation, times, the end times is what we call it, or the Old Testament calls it Jacob's trouble. Jamie's got Jim Staley on the line. We're going to put Jim on. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Hey, I know we've got many new listeners that are tuning in this morning, and I was just going over why this station exists and why this program even exists, but why don't you do a synopsis, if you would, about why the Hebraic roots, and I don't even like to call it that, but it's really a whole Bible understanding rather than just a New Testament by itself understanding. Could you go over that a little bit?
Yeah, listen, I mean, the reason why your ministry exists is the same reason why our ministry exists. I mean, I come from an evangelical, apologetic background where I used to teach Christians how to defend the Bible and defend our belief system. And 7 years, I walked through a journey of looking at the Bible through a different perspective. Matter of fact, as ironic as it is, it's the perspective of the authors that is missing. And so, really, the reason why this whole perspective is so important is because when the writers of the Bible wrote this, what we call today the Scriptures, they wrote them with their language, with their context, with their culture, with their idioms, with their slang, with their thought processes in mind and their background and backdrop. And if we don't interpret their words from their perspective, we're going to end up with someone else's perspective. And so anyone that does any kind of research on current belief systems or religious doctrine finds out very quickly that much of the belief system and doctrine that we believe today in almost every sect of Christianity is someone else's belief system at some point. It needs the tweaking. It has some man's fingerprints all over it, and that's because we have been interpreting the Scriptures from the mindset of the church fathers and the writings of the church fathers, and many of them, if not almost all of them, come from a pagan Gentile background that had much anti-Semitism against the Jews. We begin to, history gets slanted, and we can document when history changed. We know exactly when doctrines were formed and why we believe what we believe. And so the whole Hebrew Roots movement, or the whole movement of people that are wanting to know what the Scriptures are saying, is all about, let's go back to the truth. Let's go back, prior to Luther. Let's go back prior to the Gentile fathers of the 3rd and 4th and 5th century, and let's get all the way back into the very first century and find out what these Jewish believers believed, because when they wrote their words, when Paul wrote his two-thirds of the New Testament, he was a Jewish rabbi of all rabbis, and we need to know what he believed, because everything he's going to write is going to be bent from that perspective. And so that's really, in a quick nutshell, what this is all about. It's just about finding the truth and allowing the truth to do what it does best, which is set us free, and then align ourselves with that truth so that it can continue to set our families free and the churches free and so on and so forth.
Now, we've come from a perspective, because we have had this understanding that the New Testament really takes precedence over thing, that everything in the Scripture, that we start looking at the Bible from the New Testament and go backwards. And what we are learning is that there is no conflict between the first books of the Bible, what we call the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, and the New Testament, or the Brit Hadashah. But it changes. The whole perspective changes if we start in the beginning of the book.
Absolutely. I love to say that there are two. When I'm teaching, I'll teach this very basic principle. So if there's any people that are listening for the first time, this is sometimes a shocker, an eye-opener, but that there were two things that did not exist in the first century when the New Testament was being written. First is the Christian church, as it is today, and secondly is the New Testament. Most of the New Testament, people are shocked to find out it wasn't even written down until 60-some-odd years, 40 to 70 years after the Messiah died. And so when these New Testament authors are penning down the book of Romans and James and Timothy and so on, there is no such thing as any other scripture besides the Old Testament, the Torah and the prophets. And so that is an unbelievable fact that has to be taken into consideration when we are reading these New Testament authors, is when Timothy says all, you know, in the book of Timothy, I should say, when it says all scripture is God-breathed and worthy for doctrine, reproof, and correction in a way of righteousness, his only definition of scripture is the Torah and the prophets. There's no other definition because there's no other scripture, and we must take that into consideration when we're interpreting what we call the scriptures, is we need to read the front of the book first, which is the dictionary for the back of the book. If we don't understand the front of the book and don't begin to read the dictionary, we will read into the terms of the New Testament and redefine them. We must define them from the author's dictionary, and that was the only scriptures that he had, was the Hebrew scriptures.
Now, Jim, you know, a lot of people have listened to you off and on our show, but your background, you were ministering in a church prior to getting into the Hebrew roots, correct?
That's right. We were in, me and my wife were both in a non-denominational church. We were on a worship team for 10 years. I taught apologetic and evangelism classes, and that's really my fundamental background is a Christian evangelical.
Okay, the reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, when you got into this, I know that your mother is one of the reasons, because she got a hold of this back in the 80s. And to me, the biggest thing that changed me was that this gave us something that we could, learn with our children, that we could teach them something that really made sense. Like, you know, I'm thinking about, like, on the door we have the Shema, and we have something really practical. And then on our, you know, if we wear on our belts the reminder to keep the commandments, things like this. How did that affect you and your family when you first started looking into this for a way of learning and teaching your children the truth?
Well, that's a great question, and I've got five little ones, and one of the things that probably, at least for me personally, before I tell you about how this transformed my family life, but really for me personally, this took this out of the intellectual, it took it out of the philosophical, it took it out of the feel-good Christianity, and put it in the practical, it put it into the real world. How do I live this thing called the Bible? That was the first thing that I noticed, is that the Hebrew scriptures are very practical, they're very do-oriented, they're very hands-on, get your feet, you know, and hands dirty, and work this, your salvation out with fear and trembling, if you will. The second thing that it did for me was very much like if out on the History Channel or on Fox News, they came out and said, we have just found 39 more books to the New Testament that have been missing for 2,000 years. It was that kind of eye-opener where now I have 39 more books that I never had before. Even though they were always there, I've always grown up learning that they're really just historical, they're just waypoint-oriented, they're really just there for reference, like almost a commentary, but we don't really use it as a commentary. But now it was an opener. It was legal for me to go back and read the front of the book with the perspective of that relates to the front of the back of the book, that it's all one book. And so those were the first two things. Thirdly, as I began to apply some of these things through the Spirit, not through legalism at all, but to literally apply these things the best that I could through the Holy Spirit leading me, it began to revolutionize the way that we live our lives, and it began to bring rhythm. And I don't know if anybody's out there but that's listening that may need rhythm, but in America, we don't have such a thing as rhythm. We have one wave, and it's called a tsunami, and it comes in at 210 miles an hour, and that's the way Americans work. We don't have this idea of a lapping wave, of something that's just rhythmic, that weekly you're looking forward to a day of rest, and this happens, and this happens, and the setting starts to come in that gets a blessing attached to it. And so it brings rhythm. Following the scriptures the way that Yahweh created them to be followed creates a rhythmic pattern that fits all of your physical world and your spiritual world and your emotional world all into one, and it becomes this beautiful wave that just continues week after week after week.
Yeah, one of the things that, people that are starting out in this, a lot of times they wonder, what do we do? I mean, we know it's the end times. We understand that this is a new way of life, but we want to get this as fast as we can because they know the time, they look around, they hear things, they watch what's happening in the world, and they want to be able to be as protected as they can, but also they want to know what they have to do so that they can understand this, so they can enter the kingdom. So,
Jim, you hit it on the head, I think, when you said that you didn't know how to walk out this faith that was in the Bible necessarily as an evangelical Christian because you didn't know the basis for it. And I want to make sure that we tell everybody that we're not saying you're saved by the law. We're not saying you're saved by carrying things out, by works, but we are saved by the blood of Yeshua. But that only gets us in the door, doesn't it?
That's right. And I think I never really took Jesus seriously when he brought up this subject, or when the subject was brought to him in Matthew chapter 5. And they were debating with Yeshua, and they were basically attacking him, saying that you are doing away with our law. Well, we forget as Christians, or don't realize as Christians, that in the first century, the Jewish definition of law is far different from a Christian's definition of law. The Jewish definition of law is both the Torah, the written word of God, and also the oral traditions and doctrines of the elders. And so Jesus was very much against the traditions and doctrines of the elders. And so as he began to land blast them and separate them from his father's Torah, from man's Torah to father's Torah, they begin to accuse him of getting rid of the law. And he said, listen, I did not come, and specifically the Torah. And he says, I did not come, in Matthew 5, 17 through 21, to get rid of or to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And unfortunately, many Christians, as did I, and even taught this as an apologist, that the word fulfill meant to get rid of. And unfortunately, it doesn't mean that at all. The Greek word is pleru, which means to fill up in meaning, to make alive, which makes a lot of sense because it's a contrasting statement. He says, I did not come to destroy or kill. I came to do something completely opposite. I came to make alive. In other words, bring full meaning to. I came to tell you how to keep it. And he goes on to say that anyone, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law until heaven and earth is disappeared and made new. And he says, anyone that teaches that the law is done away with will be least in the kingdom of heaven. So it's not a salvific issue. We are saved by grace, period, according to the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord. But how we live that life out is determined on our rewards, on how we will live with him for eternity. And that is unfortunately just the facts. Although virtually all Christians will admit that there is rewards for what we do here on heaven and earth,
Jim, what
we
want to
really
do
is, don't live it out that way. We don't live it out that
way. Jim, we're going to have to go to break, but what we want to do is we want to make it available for people to call in, 503-316-1220, and ask some questions to Jim while you got him on the line. Call in now, and we will be right back with you after this break.
Hey, Nehemiah here. I want to share something with you, some breaking news regarding Bible translation. In fact, I have here one of the Renewed Covenant Bible translations taken directly from the Aramaic. It's amazing. And this being taken from the language that Yeshua and his disciples actually spoke. And it was not King James or Greek. Hey, at any rate, I want to share a testimonial from a listener to the show and let him tell you what he thinks.
It's been an incredible blessing. I stumbled across it, so I started researching, and the appendix is incredible. The study notes are incredible. Just reading the Word, it kind of really takes out a lot of the little traps that seem to be in other translations that get you into doctrinal traps. So I really recommend anybody picking this thing up. It's worth money. I couldn't recommend it more.
Hey, you can get a copy of this Bible right here exclusively by calling 503-316-1220. Ask for Don or Jamie.
And don't forget to tune in to Torah to the Nations weekdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 1220.
And we're back with you. This is Jamie and...
Well, that was almost smooth as silk. You got to turn that music down now. Turn that music down.
There you go. You know, Jim, they're trying to get me to multitask, and I can't even task, you know. So
you got to turn him back up, too.
Oh, yeah. We got to turn you back up. Yeah, you're up. Are you there, Jim?
I'm here.
Okay, terrific. We didn't know if we lost you or not on that.
No.
Well, this is, you know, we're talking about walking out what we believe is a way that we can really walk and talk and communicate and really be with our Heavenly Father and with God all the time. When I was raised in the church, we had all these things that we had to do to feel like we were in His presence. And what I understand, the more I see in the Torah, He's teaching us to do this so that we can be as close to Him every day of our lives all the time by practicing and operating these different principles. For example, you know, when we get up in the morning to say prayers like the Shema, prayers that are in His scripture that give us, give Him the tribute, love Him with all our heart, teach our children, do the things that He wants us to focus on. Then when we walk out the door, we touch that mezuzah that reminds us to keep these commandments, His commandments, as we go out into the world and start practicing. Then we wear the tzitzit. When we have those on, we brush by them. When we get to go into a store or we're doing some business, to remember to keep these words in everything that we do. So it's like a whole different way of life than we did in the church. I used to go to church, sit in the pew, and then I wouldn't do anything. I'd do it for an hour,
Jim,
and then I'd forget.
That's one of the things about this is that we don't all practice and believe exactly the same way, and yet we are all part of this big family. For example, you know, I don't do a lot of the Jewish traditions because I'm not Jewish. So I look at this, my older brother Judah, and think, well, you've been following Torah now as best that you knew how for thousands of years, and yet we really are at a place where one new man is being born.
Now, you know, one of the things that before you jump in here, Jim, is I'm not talking, the reason the tzitzit or what I'm talking about is these are tactical things that we touch and see and do to help us walk out being with Him all the time.
But
I'm not talking about
becoming
Jewish.
But Jamie, let's have a
Jewish
debate here. We're talking about tradition, some of the things you said.
Well, some of them are
not biblical.
Well, the tzitzit are biblical and so is mezuzah.
Well, it says write it on your door. It doesn't say put a thing in a box and hang it on a door.
Well, let me jump in here and give my two cents. Really, I like, Jamie, what you're saying. I mean, ultimately what you're saying is the way of life, the biblical way of life is a different culture. It's a different way of what I call curriculum. It's a different way of teaching your kids. And so me as a dad and a Bible teacher and a pastor, so on and so forth, you know, I look at things very black and white. Does this, and really on a bar graph, if I was going to graph it out on a bar, Jim Staley is going to choose whatever is the most value for spiritual growth, whether it be for me or for my children or for my wife, marriage, or congregation. That's the direction that I'm going to go. So if I find something, for instance, I'm going to put it on a bar graph, I'm going to put Christmas on one side, and I'm going to compare it against the Feast of Dedication, the Festival of Lights, or more commonly called Hanukkah. And I'm going to compare the two, and I'm going to say, okay, one day is Christmas, filled with lots of presents. Yes, there's some good traditions there, but I've got to lie to my children. I got to talk. I got to tell them that it's not about the presents. It's not about Christmas. He really wasn't born, on December 25th, and Santa Claus really isn't real. And then on the other hand, I've got a an 8-day feast where I've got I get to teach my children every night about what light represents, that Jesus was actually conceived during this time period, and Yeshua actually kept this feast. It was a minor feast, and so on and so forth. And I never have to lie, but I get to spend time with my kids for an entire week teaching them biblical things. Which one has more value if I put it on a scale? Clearly, the festival of Hanukkah. It's true, no question about it. It is a Jewish tradition. It's not a biblical holiday that is commanded, although Jesus kept it. But me, as a father and a Bible teacher, I'm going to choose whatever has more value. And so, and everything that Jamie just mentioned is exactly that. There are some things that are traditions that are created within Judaism, and so I have to ask myself, does it have any value whatsoever? Because not all traditions are bad. There are certain traditions that I don't buy into just because, again, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Catholic, I'm not Baptist, I'm not Jewish. So I don't relate to them. But I have come to the point in my spirituality where truth is the most important thing to me, and teaching truth is the most important thing to me. And so anything that can assist that in value, whether it be a mezuzah that teaches my kids before they walk out of the door that you are absolutely, now we don't particularly do this yet, but I do like the idea of the mezuzah just because of its spiritual and biblical significance of representing Yeshua being nailed to a cross and the mezuzah being nailed to the doorpost. There's a lot to teach there. So everything that's found in the scriptures, whether it's become tradition or not, really, you can trace it back to an unbelievable teaching tool, and that's what the Hebrew mindset is all about, is physical, tangible, touch it, feel it, taste it, teaching tools.
Well, you know, Jim, many times I'll teach by opposition questions. So,
and one of the things that I really think is fantastic that Yahweh is doing in this day and time is we have been given, at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. And that is what, to me, ties this all together. I mean, yes, we got to have the fundamental, we got to have the Torah, but we also need the Spirit, because this is Spirit and truth. And that's what's exciting to see. And I know that you come from a background where the Spirit was very active and still is in your life. Just because you got into the Torah, you didn't throw the Spirit out the window. And talk about that a little bit, Jim.
You know, it's the most critical part of the whole game plan is understanding the Spirit, putting the Spirit into the new understanding. Anytime that you have a new understanding of the Scriptures, we don't just use our intellectual mindset to understand things. We use the Spirit. The Spirit says that He'll teach us all things. Well, He doesn't teach you anything unless you ask. And so if you put the Spirit into things, and I think that's what I was most afraid of when I first got into understanding the Torah was that I would not understand it or interpret it from the spiritual perspective. And I'm going to have to put everybody on hold for 1 second because I've got a somewhat of emergency here, but I'll be right back.
That's all right. We'll take her from here. You know, Jamie, one of the things that we need to let people know, too, is that there is no conflict.
Talk to you, Mike, would you?
There is no conflict.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Hey, while we're gone, I was just bringing up the point that there is no conflict in the Bible. And so when we hear Peter, for example, in the vision, and we believe that he said, well, all foods are fine because he saw a vision with scorpions in it. Well, are you eating scorpions? One thing I guess you'd say. Or Paul says that law is done away with. Those things that seem like they're in conflict with the New Testament can't possibly be because of who they were and because of the context, I guess, of who they were and the times and who they were speaking to. So why don't you give some explanation, if you would, on that, Jim, as to why there are seemingly conflicts between Old and New Testament?
Again, it comes back to really one single thing. It comes back to understanding that the Greek word nomos is law. And there's no other Greek word for law but nomos. And so it becomes difficult to determine whether it's talking about the Mosaic law, the Torah, or the traditions and doctrines of men, the oral law, or the law of sin and death. Only the context suggests that, but you'll never even get the context to suggest anything unless you even open up the opportunity that they could be talking about a different kind of law. And so as you begin to read through the New Testament, you begin to find out that really the issue is that the law of God kills. That's what it does. It kills anyone that breaks it. It condemns you to death. And that is the biggest problem that Yeshua is facing, that the disciples are facing, is trying to teach this Hebrew principle to Greeks that, listen, every one of you have broken the law of God, which means that everyone in the world is under the law of God, or you can't break it. They don't need a Savior if they're not under it. So everyone is under the law, not just the Jews, but everyone was under the law of God. And they broke the law of God. They sinned, which is what the definition of law is. And Yeshua had to pay for that sin. He became the condemnation. He took the punishment. All Christians know this story, but they don't connect the two, that Jesus absolutely took the condemnation on his shoulders. He became the curse for us, but they take it one step forward beyond the scope of the understanding of the authors, and they turn it into that now the law's done away with, as if it was the law's fault that we broke it, instead of the curse is done away with. And that's why Romans 7 is all about Paul saying, the things that I don't do, I want to do. And what does he want to do? He says at the end of the chapter, with my mind, I'm a slave to God's law. With my heart, I'm a slave to sin. What a wretched man that I am. And the very next verse is the first verse of chapter 8, which says, but therefore there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, or Messiah Yeshua.
Jim, now one
insane that ultimately that the law is definitely for today, but there's no condemnation anymore because Yeshua took the condemnation away.
Jim, one of the things that I know that I've experienced since I've been in this walk is, where do I find these things? I can hear a teacher like yourself teach it, but where do I get it so I can get it myself? I might need a little bit more study with it. And I think that one of the things that you've found is that Aramaic English New Testament is a great tool because it's written and translated. It's actually written by our father, but it's translated by someone that was raised in Judaism, that was raised in the Torah, that became a believer and has a lot of understanding, like the first century church believers did, of where it's coming from, and can translate that and give you a lot of footnotes. Have you found that to be true with that Aramaic English New Testament?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Andrew's a good friend of mine. What he did was really groundbreaking as far as being able to help people. Mainly the footnotes is what I encourage people to buy that New Testament for, is because it really walks you through good commentation of from a Hebrew perspective of what those certain scriptures mean. But really, ultimately, the most important thing that people can learn is as they begin to listen to some of the teaching from the Hebraic teachers and some of the resource materials, and they begin to walk through the Bible again for the first time from this new perspective, by the time they walk through all of the verses that seem to be talking against the law, and they find out that, oh my goodness, I've been reading into those scriptures and I did not even realize that you know, this or that or the context or the culture, they begin to put on the mindset themselves. They begin to reteach themselves. And really, this is about a re-brainwashing. And I mean that with literalness. We need to wash our brains with the water of the Word, because it's been washed by men, and there's a sticky residue there. So as they begin, the more you study from a Hebraic perspective, the more you're going to maintain a biblical perspective. And that's what we're trying to do.
You know, Jim, I'm going to take the last minute here or so of this segment and let the folks know, Lynn and Cheryl, that have been listening on the T2TN website, we've got some resources that we can get to you, and we're going to do that. In fact, everybody, if you're looking for a place to start, email me, don@thejctown.com or t2tn.com or jamie@t2tn.com. And we'll get you some resource lists out of websites, for example, like Jim Staley's Passion for Truth Ministries and Brad Scott's Wild Branch Ministries and so on. A whole bunch of different resources where you can go and jet ahead at your own pace. And then there was also a question, where do I get this Aramaic English New Testament? You can do that right here at the station. Email me or call here at 503-316-1220. We want to make sure that you have all the resources that you need. So you never have to be alone. Look, it took us years and years and years of really just research and trying to find things and digging things out. And now you've got an entire radio station 24 hours a day that actually helps you get to where you can, you catapult ahead of where we were. And that's our goal, is to make you greater, brighter, bigger saints of Yahweh than we ever could be.
And one of the things we want to make sure you know is these teachers like Jim are available. And when you get them online like this, this is the time you can call in and you can actually have correspondence with the people that you normally never get a chance to talk to. So it's available. Call in at 503-316-1220. Jim would love to hear from you. Or you can email Jim at Passion for Truth. What's your email, Jim, real quick?
Jim at PassionForTruth.com. Or you can go online at PassionForTruth.com.
Very good.
Okay.
Now, I want people to know also, I think we've just got a few seconds left here, but Jim's going to be having a new show coming up. We've already made our transition to more Hebraic teachers over the weekend, so Jim has two shows on the weekend. It's at 9 p.m. for an hour on Saturday. And let's see, his Sunday show is, well, I'll have to find it. It's on the schedule in this mess here somewhere. But he's also got a daily show coming up at 2:30 every weekday starting next week, we hope.
You see, it turns out the Torah is a great prophetic story of how God intends to redeem his people from this world. And the pattern of what took place back in the Exodus is the same pattern that's going to be happening to another generation at the end of the ages. You see, there's going to be another Pharaoh who will not remember Joseph. Only this Pharaoh that will be coming to the world will not remember the son of Joseph. And he will rise up and he will oppress us.
Hear Mighty Judah weekday mornings at 6:30 a.m. It's radio you won't get anyplace else.
If you're listening to this station, then what you're listening to is a shovel. That's right, a shovel. Proverbs 25 says it's the glory of Yahweh to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search them out. And in Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. What we're giving you is a tool to discover vast treasure and great wealth in Scripture. Don't rob your family or leave your friends behind in poverty. Tell them about KPJC, heard streaming on the internet from any place in the world at thejctown.com. It's radio you can't get anyplace else.
Folks, whoops. Teaching, you know what? Even that mic wasn't on. Welcome back to Tour of the Nations, everybody. We've got Operator Betsy over here trying to get Jim back on the line, and Jamie's learning this board, so be patient with us as we do that. You are listening to Tour of the Nations. I want to tell you about our website a little bit, T2TN. T2TN.com is a resource that you can go to and subscribe so that you get these shows every day in your mailbox. That means you don't have to listen to the whole show in the morning on your way to work, or you can listen to the rerun at 10 o'clock at night, but that's gets a little bit late too. So what we want you to do is to go to that website, T2TN.com, and simply subscribe to that. Then you can get this show every day. And what you get when you listen to this show is you get the best Bible teachers in the world that come on to this program to teach you about the things that we missed in our upbringing in evangelical church and so on. So we're going to go ahead and get Jim Staley back on the line with us, as we said. And Jim, welcome back.
I'm here.
You are. Well, good. I was just telling them about the website, T2TN. And earlier I was mentioning this resource list that people can call in or ask for, either on email or by telephone. And you and all the great teachers are on that list. So, before the break, we were talking about the difference in understanding in an Aramaic language, I guess, or a Hebrew language versus a Greek mindset. And there are so many different things that pop up when you're actually understanding the Bible from the context that it was originally written. We learn, for example, in our culture, we look in a very linear fashion from beginning to end, and we don't understand that our Father, just like we teach our kids, teaches us over and over and over in cycles. That was one of the biggest things that caught me off guard when I came into an understanding of that. Why are cycles important?
Well, let's just ask the question, why do we celebrate our anniversary every year? Why do we celebrate birthdays every year? Why do we send our kids to school every year? Why do we review things with them? Why do we have to continually tell our children, make sure you hold our hand when you cross the street, or make sure you're home by 10. I mean, did you not tell your wife on your wedding day that you loved her once? Why do you have to continually do it over and over and over again? Because it's our DNA is cyclical. I mean, everything inside of us is built around tradition and repetition and instilling things based on grooves, creating grooves and rhythmic activity in our life. Unfortunately, the enemy wants to unravel that cyclical activity, because cyclical activity will always end up back in the scriptures, because that's the whole Bible is written in cycles. He wants to unravel that and turn it into a linear platform. And when he turns it into a linear platform, then what happens is the Bible becomes behind you and life becomes ahead of you. Instead of life being behind you and the Bible being ahead of you. And so in the cyclical mindset, the Bible is always in front of you. You're always seeing it. Life is all around you. It's a circular. If you stay inside the boundaries of the circle, whatever the circle says, you find life at all times. And so I teach this concept that says, listen, let's put life back into life. You can't get more out of life than what you're putting into it. And people think they're doing everything they possibly can. They're going to church, they're reading the Bible, they're praying, they're lighting candles, whatever they're doing, they're tithing. Why aren't they blessed? Because they're in the wrong circle. They're not in the biblical, true biblical circle. And they refuse to even pause for a moment and contemplate that it's possible that they could be in the wrong circle, because they're so convinced they're in the right circle. But I will suggest to everyone out there in radio land that my Bible tells me that the truth only brings one thing, and that's life, and it sets you free. So if you're not set free and you don't have life in your life, then you probably have bondage, and that's what we need to work out, is to figure out why the bondage is there. And the whole Hebrew mindset is listen, let's look at the Bible from the author's perspective. If it says to do something and they're doing something, maybe we should do what they're doing and maybe we'll get the same results.
We miss out on some really big truths by thinking in a Greco-Roman fashion. Some of those things that we never knew about in the Christian understanding is that, for example, because of the cycles, things happen again, like this regathering of his people that's happening, another exodus, another slavery that's coming up. And it allows doctrines, for example, like I know it's the sacred cow for 90% of the church, but the pre-tribulation rapture. And that's not our Father's pattern that he set down for us. He didn't let the children of Israel go right into the promised land, but they had to go around and prove that they loved him first.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I was trying to remember where this was in the scriptures, but there's a scripture, and I believe it's either in the Psalms or in Isaiah, where it says, or if I can find this real quick here, it says, "Father, turn me towards your paths of righteousness," and I believe that's in the Psalms. But in any case, the Hebrew actually is cycles of righteousness. To turn me towards your cycles of righteousness, because righteousness in the scripture is determined as following the commandments. Those that follow the commandments are righteous, which is why you are righteous in Christ. For those of you that are potentially freaking out about what I just said, oh, my righteousness is in Christ, it's not in anything that I do. No, hold on. The pattern of righteousness in Christ comes from righteousness that's found in actually obeying the commandments through faith, obeying God through faith. Why? Because Yeshua kept the commandments perfectly. That's what made him righteous. And because he died and rose from the dead and we are crucified with him, we get to take on his perfect obedience. We forget as believers that righteousness comes from being obedient. That's where the righteousness of Christ came from. He did not obtain his righteousness just because he was divine in nature. He obtained his righteousness because he maintained his divinity through a perfect obedience. And we take on that obedience through Christ. We become salvifically, salvation-wise, perfectly righteous. But our daily righteousness that we're judged by, our works, is based on what we do. And that's why the Apostle James, the president of the entire church in the New Testament, says, do not merely look into the word, and the word there was only one word at the time when he wrote that, which was the Torah. Do not look into the perfect law of liberty and walk away and forget what it looks like. Be a doer of it. But this time do it through faith and don't do it the way the Pharisees are doing it.
That's good.
Okay, well, that's really good, Jim, because, you know, the thing that gets me and gets, I think, anybody out there is, how do you do this, again, with that spirit and the truth? And I think you're nailing it for me in a lot of these different areas. What we've got, I wanted to bring up before we get through is we're really excited about what you're doing with the with your teaching on truth and tradition, and we're using that for to get people involved, handing it to people that are first time looking at things to get them out of the misunderstanding of all the or the understand they don't even realize how much paganism has gotten into the church. And with that teaching that can gently or really, it depends on where they're at, start bringing them towards the understanding, getting back to the Hebraic way of thinking. We wanted to we've got several of those. We want to get more of them out, but we really want to bring you out here, and we're talking about bringing you out here in August, and we want people to know if you want to get behind that, we want to get as many people to Jim when he comes out. We want to do something really, really special. So come by the station and get these DVDs and make sure we get them to everybody. Let us know if you want to get more of them. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in other areas of the country.
Well, I can tell you what the Truth of Tradition campaign is just lit on fire. I mean, there are people buying literally, I think, 2,000 a month, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 a month we're sending out of the TNT campaign. Our production company can hardly keep up. We have had pastors that are buying 500, you know, congregations are taking collections, and then they're taking this as really what I call the gateway drug into the Hebrew scriptures, and they're passing it out to their friends and family and their pastors and their other pastors in the area, and it's really lighting people on fire. It's creating the pause, and that's where Yahweh really works, is in the pause. The moment that people pause and go, huh, I wonder what else is out there, that's when the truth just instantly, like lightning, comes to the door and begins to work in people's lives. And so the Truth or Tradition DVD, which really goes through in incredible accuracy historically of the origins of Christmas and Easter and how it relates to the Bible and does the Bible speak to it at all, it's such a just a basic DVD that opens up people's mindset to what the Spirit is already speaking to them, which is there has got to be more out there. It provides that opening of the door to let people know that there is more out there, that you're not being told everything, that there's an enormous world of biblical archaeology just waiting to be found for those that are hungry for it. When you put on these new glasses, you begin to see everything from a different perspective. So what we're seeing worldwide is the beginning of a revival. So, matter of fact, we cannot wait till this December. We're going to do probably our largest conference yet here in the Midwest. We're planning for 2,000 people. We are really excited about what's happening in the world. People are hungry. They're going to come from everywhere, and I think that's what's happening even with your radio station. You're touching people everywhere, and people are starting to wake up to this new truth.
And we want to let people out there know, if you don't know where to get Truth and Traditions, you can always get them from us. Let us know that you have somebody you want to give them to. We will pass them on to you to give them away as long as we have the ones that have been given to us. And so we want to make sure you get those out to people because it's going to change lives. Also, it's really going to be an exciting event in August to bring Jim out here. And we want to get people to know it. You can hand them that DVD and say, you know, this... And after people see it and understand it and they want to know more, well, he's going to be here at such and such a date. It gives us an avenue, a way to get things going, motivate people to get started. Because this journey, we met a couple of people yesterday that came in the station. They stopped by, and we love it when they do, a nurse and her friend. And, you know, one of the things that are exciting is these people, they're learning that we are in the end times. A lot of people know that, but don't know what to do about it. Well, you got to get back to the truth of his foundational material so you understand what to do.
Yeah, and Jim, I'm kind of like you. I don't necessarily believe that we're in the last, you know, 7-week period or something like that. But the thing is that what you're doing with your kids is exactly what we want these young moms to do as an older bunch of people, 30s, 40s, 50s. It's our responsibility to teach righteousness and truth to these generations that are coming, whether Yeshua comes, you know, next week or whether he comes in another 100 or 200 years or whatever it is. We have got to build a bride that is spotless and pure. The only way we can do that is to build the bride that he's looking for, not the one Constantine made.
Yeah. You know, any time that in the prophets or in the Bible completely, anytime that there was a strong indication that Yahweh was going to move or there was going to be some major spiritual activity, there was always a move of the Spirit first through people to call people towards repentance. That is what the Scriptures are all about, is constantly reigning in this maverick cowboy called Israel or God's people to get back to the basics, to come back to what Yahweh said to do and to get away from what man or your denomination said to do, or at the very least to compare what the denomination says to do or what the religious leader says to do and what God says to do. And so that's what's happening right now, is that I do believe that high potentiality, that we are in the last generation, and Yahweh is calling his people back towards repentance. Whether it's 7 years from now that he comes back or whether it's 27 years, it doesn't matter to me. The most important thing is we begin to do Bible things in Bible ways. And so that ultimately, my wife gets tired of me saying that, but it really is the truth. We need to start doing Bible things in Bible ways and quit trying to make our denomination or our background and turn it into the Bible. Take the Bible. If it says to rest on the seventh day, take it literally, because that's what it meant.
You know, that's so good, because, you know, one of the things we do at T2TN and down here at the radio station, I have Brimstone from Gomorrah. We have proof that the Bible's true right out of Gomorrah. We have proof that Noah's Ark and other things have happened. We have so many things that we can show you to prove the Bible. Then you can take it more literally because you know it's true. When you smell that brimstone, you get that smell in your nose, and you know it, and you see it. You know that it's a real thing. It really happened, and you can tell people, I know it happened, and that's pretty exciting.
Jim, thanks for being with us. We're at the end of the hour here, and Jamie's got to pay attention to his board, so we're gonna
don't get him distracted.
I know he gets on a little roll there talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's a real deal.
Shalom.